Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
Yeah. Inside the 8 o'clock hour on The Fan in New York, this is Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, taking your calls, talking sports. I call this KM to AM, five-hour show. We started off talking about the Mets, the Grimettes. We started talking about how, you know, you need something to rally around, something to believe in, and shame on you if you just can't let people have fun and want to be a killjoy and just act like, you know, this isn't a thing. It is a thing until it's not. And I said, even if they lose tonight, it's not going to matter. So I got eyes on this Mets game coming up. And then, of course, we got into the conversation around the Yankees. Oh, Trevino's a problem. Oh, here's the formula to how you beat the New York Yankees. I can't even say it with a straight face. I tip my cap to Alex Cora and the Boston Red Sox figuring that out and taking advantage of that with Trevino and Stroman. And having a lead and being able to just blitz and good on them. But I can't believe that every team is going to come in here with their laces tied tight, thinking they're going to just run around the bases. And I hope they do, actually, because I know the Yankees aren't going to, like, I watched Jose Trevino in the post game and watched the Yankees. It's one game. They got. Sometimes that happens, man. That's why you tip your cap. It's baseball. Sometimes somebody has a game plan and they're able to execute it on you. The Yankees didn't hit. They didn't hit. So they didn't do what they've been doing. Score early. Score in that first inning and kind of take their hearts out of it. Once they start believing, there's, you know, TV cameras. Juan Soto's doing a mic'd up interview in the outfield. Tristan Casas is on for way too long. And people are falling asleep. People are falling asleep. So 888-808-1019. We're going to continue the conversation about the New York Yankees. Hear me and hear me clear. And some of you bozos online crack me up. You know, when I'm wrong, I willingly, like, I come out of my way to be like, hey, I did this wrong. I said this wrong. And I learned that through life. Just being, hey, when you're wrong, you're wrong. When you make a mistake, own up to the mistake and move on. None of us are perfect. And if you think you're perfect, I don't, stop. But you bozos online trip me out. If you think I'm getting on air as a Yankee boy, Yankee shill, Yankee fanboy, whatever, I'm not. What I'm telling you is, as a Yankee fan and someone who's watched a little bit of baseball, not a lot, I'm not that old and I haven't been watching baseball that long, but a little bit to know that, like, just in these last 3 weeks, there have been too many ridiculous claims. There have been too many hot takes, and they're not valid. They're not true. And I'm also saying that there are issues with the New York Yankees. Everything is not rainbows and butterflies. Everything's not coming up perfect. If it was, then you beat the Dodgers. If it was, then you sweep the Royals. If it was, you don't lose the series to the Boston Red Sox. But what I'm saying is, these aren't bad problems to have. Like, this is making the New York Yankees say, we got to do better. And they have the opportunity to do better between now and the July 30th deadline. Mo is in Brooklyn. Mo, you're on The Fan.
Good evening, Keith. It's actually Mo from the Garden State Parkway tonight, but it's great to talk to you. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Driving. Thanks for calling in.
A couple of things. Yeah, thanks for keeping me company. A couple of things. Like you're saying, you know, these are things that are nitpicks with the Yankees. They're a terrific team. A couple of things. One is, and I think the last caller hit on it before the break, talking about the bullpen. I don't think the issue is Clay Holmes as much as I do believe the Yankees could get an upgrade at closer. The question I was thinking this in the last two games when the Yankees were making comebacks and the middle relief let them down, is how many guys in the bullpen, Aaron Boone likes to call it the circle of trust, or it might have been Joe Girardi, how many guys would I consider in that bullpen the circle of trust? And when I came down to it, I said, Holmes, Luke Weaver on a lower level, Kingley a little lower than that, and that's about it. I don't like Ferguson. I don't like Gonzalez. I couldn't stand Santana. Thank goodness he's gone. I don't.
Arenado, Hamilton.
I don't love Arenado. Doesn't throw enough strikes, even though I love the stuff. I don't think Like, I think he needs to be harnessed. I think Marinaccio is going to be a good pitcher. I think he just needs to be harnessed. I just, that's my problem with the Yankee bullpen. And, like, Gleyber Torres is the Julius Randle of baseball. I just, like, there's...
Not even. That's disrespectful to Julius Randle.
Yeah, that's a disrespect to Julius Randle. But that idea just mind-numbing sometimes. It's just, and this year he hasn't even been good at the plate. So, yeah, it's a couple of... I don't know if Cashman's going to be willing to get uncomfortable for Mason Miller. But, like, if you would get a guy like that and everyone in the bullpen goes down a notch, and then maybe even if Heel goes to the bullpen, that could really solve your bullpen issues. But like I said, I think it's the middle relief that's the issue. There's just not enough guys there.
Sure. I hear you. Thanks for the call, Mo. Drive safe. Appreciate you tuning in while you do that driving. 888-808-1019. I've said this from the jump. The bullpen is going to be ever-changing, evolving. There's going to be some different guys. Like Michael Tonkin is a guy that you didn't mention. Michael Tonkin is a guy that is in the circle of trust. Did I know that Michael Tonkin would even be on this team? No. And I've spoken about that this whole week, how, you know, my first take on him expired so quickly. And as I learned about the guy and his journey and his family and what it's taken, like, I like that guy. I'm glad he's here. But if you don't think they're not mindful of it, they are. They know that they're not running out Caleb Ferguson to get them big outs in October. Victor Gonzalez, it's just not like this. This is not a reality. But you have to give to get. So to get Juan Soto, you lose Michael King. Michael King is a very solid pitcher in Major League Baseball. You also didn't bring back Wandy Peralta. I meant to read the article Wandy was talking about, you know, how he didn't want to leave New York or whatever. Whatever. It is what it is. Add. And they're waiting on a couple guys. I got to check on Lou Trevino and Scott Efros and their progress. But for the most part, man, this bullpen, as you see it, is not complete. It is going to continue to change and evolve. Now, for those of you saying, put Luis Gil in the bullpen, I don't want that. Especially after you just saw Stroman and Rodon show you that, like, as good as they've been, they can be average, less than average. I don't know how inclined you are to hand them the ball game two, game three. I would love to see Gerrit Cole come back, get ramped up. Obviously, he's your game one starter, and Luis Gil should get the ball in game two, and they need to do whatever they got to do to stretch him out. But I just see the change in him being a starter to a bullpen arm. None of us know. I don't know if he's capable of that. I don't know if that's the right thing to do. They're going to have to, like, slow him down and then ramp him back up, and then it's just I don't think you mess with that. I think you keep him going as a starter. You maybe only give him five innings or whatever, but then you would need a better bullpen. Cole coming back is going to help the bullpen, and you're a fool if you don't think that Brian Cashman is going to add to the bullpen. Of course they are. Alan is in New Hyde Park. Alan, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, Keith, hey, thanks for taking the call. I think you might know who I am. I know what we spoke with Chris McMonagle last week. It's interesting. You just mentioned the guys I was going to ask you about before getting to last night's game. I want to know what's up with Efros, Freddie Montas, and the other guy we got on the bullpen guys.
Montas is pitching for the Cincinnati Reds, but Lou Trevino, who we got in the deal
Trevino
with,
and Efros.
He was on the 60-day IL. Efros is nearing a rehab stint. I just saw that in my little Google search. And okay. Lou Trevino was coming back, and then he got shut down, throwing in a rehab setback. So he's probably good as gone. And, like, just hold for a second. I'll go back to you. But here's another great point, right? In 2022, that team was at a historic pace. Brian Cashman couldn't get Luis Castillo. He pivoted, and he got Frankie Montas and Lou Trevino from the A's. Mistake. Think about the three arms that were given away to get those guys. J.P. Sears, Ken Waldichuk, Lou Medina. So, like, I know he's not going to make that same mistake twice. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, I'm an old school Yankee fan in my 70s, as you might know. That was a horrible trade, but what are you going to do about it? You know, I heard your update guy talk about the Rizzo. I didn't know he kind of fractured his arm. That's a very unfortunate injury for him. And I didn't realize from what I saw in the replay that it was going to be that serious. But my God, 4 to 6 weeks is pretty bad for him in this case. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you, I heard some of your comments earlier. some of the things that, you know, Boone did last night did trouble me. I'm just going to say, I mean, I know they had the X-Men at first base. He was the guy on first base, and I think it was 2-1 game. I don't know why Chivino didn't throw the ball through to second base. I mean, that guy's slow. He even stopped on the way. I was wondering why didn't they throw through. They would have, I think they might have had him.
There was a lot of indecision, hesitation. They looked unprepared.
Yeah,
It looked like they were, you know, bum rushed by this attack, and that's why I said they got caught with their pants down. I don't think they'll get caught again.
He should have thrown through. Next thing I did about last night, I don't know his name. 64, the lefty pitcher for us. He was
Caleb
pitching.
Ferguson.
Yeah, he was pitching, and Boone took him out. I don't think he brought Weaver in. I think Weaver could be somewhat of an eighth inning guy, maybe. I like Reed. He's shown some good stamina and some good control. But he brought in the righty to face the Devers, who got the single up the middle to get two more runs. I'm saying you got a lefty pitcher in there. So I didn't like that move.
I know, but I also like say this, and thanks for the call, Alan. And I need to tap in with my people at the Yes Network. Send me the bullpen budget because I only see it for that little bit of time before the game, and I'm always trying to take a picture of it, but that's information that you need. I have to remind you guys that the Yankees right now were in a stretch. Well, now they're not because today is an off day, but they were in a stretch where they played, let me see how many games, 13 games in 13 days. They didn't have an off day since the 3rd. So when you're playing every day and you're pitching every day, there are things you can and can't do with the bullpen budget, and they always have lanes and a script and are prepared to go certain ways. It is what it is, man. It is what it is. They've been playing. They played every day from the 4th to the 16th. Now they'll have everybody rested and ready to go, including Gerrit Cole, for the Baltimore Orioles series in our building tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. It's going to be hot. It's going to be super hot. Good. No more excuses about the weather. Oh, it's early. No, none of that. We're in it right now. And this is a vital series before we go back to Camden Yards for 3 next month, because they took 3 out of 4 from us the first time. And mark my words, Aaron Judge is not going to have one hit in this series like he did last time. Rodon will not pitch in this series. He had his worst start of the year the first time. We'll see how it goes, but I'm confident that they can hang with them, compete with them, beat them 2 out of 3, maybe even sweep them if things go right. And that's all I'm focused on. I don't care about the Boston Red Sox. They got. Good for Boston. That is their World Series right there. E. Frank and Astoria on The Fan in New York.
Yeah. Hi, Keith. I hope I can redeem myself at this time for mistakes I've done in the past on the radio.
Don't mention them. Things,
right. And, you know, bozos, people evolve, you know. There's the owner of the station down the aisle, Katsimatidis. He corrected many of the bozo issues in the radio business. So I'm glad that he likes to help out people who make mistakes.
I don't know what you're talking about, but sure.
Yeah, anyway, Keith, I feel that the Yankees are in the house right now, but I don't want to go through something that I went years ago when the Yankees were, when C.C. Sabathia wasn't retired, he was still pitching for the Yankees, and all of a sudden, you know, in the 6th inning, I think it was the American League Championship Series, and they lost a game like that. You know, every September you see Aaron Boone in very tough situations where they're very close, they've made the wild card, they get in, and then all of a sudden the pitching staff loses control in one of these championship games. I'm being a little bit facetious, I'm talking months ahead, which is, you know, September, not now. But I just wanted to ask you, Keith, what do you think the pitching staff is going to do? Even one of the previous callers already stated that, but what do you think the pitching staff is going to do within the next 3.5 weeks going into the middle of the summer? I mean, are they going to get better, or are they going to have difficulties, in your opinion?
Thanks for the call, E. Frank. I'm not sure if you redeemed yourself or not. I'll answer the question. What do I think the New York Yankees pitching staff is going to do? They're going to pitch. They're going to compete. And they're getting the reigning AL Cy Young winner back. And it's a good problem to have. Cody Poteet, who's been great. The Yankees could have been better for him. Cody Poteet, who has been great, now will lose that spot. But maybe he'll come back in some type of capacity, depending on what they do with Luis Gil or whatever. These aren't bad problems to have, man. These aren't bad problems to have. I'm not worried about the New York Yankees pitching or hitting, and I think they'll be ready to go. I don't think that we need to add any other starters. Who knows? Maybe we get greedy at the deadline and there's somebody that really wants to give a guy away. That's another thing about the deadline. You got to give to get. And as you hear me talk about the future and how, okay, maybe you have four or five high-paid guys where they're taking up most of the payroll. Well, then you need to have six, seven, eight. Like, you need some young guys in there, and you already see them. Austin Wells is here. Volpe is here. Cabrera is here. Right? And I've already mentioned all the guys waiting in the wings in the minors. So I'm trying to improve this team, but I'm not giving up crucial pieces of my future getting fleeced and finessed. And I know Cashman's not either. He's not going for it. Man, Mets score in the first inning, 1-0. I think it was a Pete Alonso single. Yep, scored J.D. Martinez. I mean, the make it happen Mets, the Grimettes, they strike first, 1-0 in Globe Life. As we go to the bottom of the first, not bad, not bad, not bad. Michael is in Westchester. Michael, you're on the fence.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going.
Good, good. Well, you know, I've never called before, but I had to call in. I've just heard so many terrible takes from these Yankee fans who are absolutely freaking out on this team. And, you know, I thought I'd give a call and explain a little bit.
You got it. Can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, that kid that called before, I'm not sure if he was trolling, but he gave you all these problem areas and didn't really give. They were pretty much his blanket statements.
Yeah, he had to be trolling because he couldn't have been listening to my open in the show. But yeah, Steve from Nia, yeah. Do better.
I've heard some stuff about the bullpen. I'm not too worried about the bullpen. Just compared to the league, we're first in the ERA. We're not too far behind in WHIP. I think the bullpen's in a good place. But I will, if I'm being honest with you, I will point to our infield, and I do see that as a problem area with Gleyber, Rizzo, and DJ. I know DJ has only been in for a handful of games, but all three of these guys, when I'm looking at their numbers, they're all well below their career numbers. And, you know, Rizzo's aging, DJ's coming off an injury, but I look at all three of their OPSs. I look at some of their other metrics, and they're just not up to par with what they've been producing. And frankly, I'm concerned.
And you should be. Thanks for the call, Michael. And I'm right there with you, right? Gleyber Torres, enough. And I haven't even been back and forth on it, but I've been rooting for Gleyber Torres to raise his stock so that we can. And I don't care what they get for him. Obviously, I understand the partner. Like, who's really? I don't think there's anybody out there. Unless we do like what we were able to do with Joey Gallo and get a Clayton Beater prospect, good. I would do that for Gleyber Torres. You're not paying him. You're not getting anything for him if he walks after this year. And what you're getting from him is a detriment to the team. He had a miserable weekend at the plate. He's got a ton of errors. And at this point, it's just like a foregone conclusion. He's not a part of the future, and he's hurting the team now. And if you can get one prospect for him, one pitching prospect for him, I would take it. But then what do you do at second base? To me, there's no more answer of just move DJ there. It's unfortunate, but DJ is not the player that we paid for. You know, DJ was getting MVP votes. And DJ was a catalyst of change. Like, he was not like the Gary Sanchez, Luke Voit. And yo, something I thought yesterday. Could you imagine that was Gary Sanchez behind the plate? What WFAN would have sounded like if Gary Sanchez was catching for all those steals. but yeah, like, DJ is an issue. Oswaldo is a good little player as far as he's clutch. He's got a flair for the dramatic. He's a gamer, but he's young, and I don't want him to play every single day. He might have to right now, though. We'll see what they do. They've got to do something. You guys want Jose Abreu? Call me up. Let's have the Jose Abreu conversation. He's out there. He's available. He's a former MVP. 888-808-1019. He's also old, and like, as we're talking about, Rizzo is cooked and DJ is cooked. I don't think that's where you go unless they have some pixie dust. I know Matt Blake has all the pixie dust for whoever he gets. Michael Tonkin, turn him in to a solid reliever late in games. Maybe James Rosson has some of that too for Jose Abreu. Won't cost you much. Won't cost you. You can pick him up. He's on the street. But no, I think the trade deadline's coming up. The Yankees could call someone up and try and deal with, you know, the situation with who they have right now to get by until we get to July, until we get past 4th of July, All-Star break. I don't know. Something's going to have to happen soon, though. All right, call the fan. Keith McPherson on the fan. We got to play some other sounds. I'll be back right after this.
When this happened, you talked about it on the fan.
A perfect game for David Cone. The third time, works like a charm. It is the third perfect game in Yankee Stadium history. Don Larson in 56, David Wells in 98, David Cone in 99, 27 up, 27 down. David Cone has attained baseball immortality.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hello. We're back. 8:30-ish. Little Jay-Z on the rejoin. Jay-Z, isn't Jay-Z like 50 years old now? 54. Rumor has it there's a new Jay-Z album loading. Jay-Z is going to drop another album. I thought he retired back when the Black album, I don't know. Don't worry about it. 888-808-1019. And now the Mets get through the first inning. And it's top of the second still. 1-0 Grimets. And the Grimace era continues. Something is different about these Mets. But everybody wants to talk to me about the Yankees. And good. Good. Because good. I actually will have someone join us later on. Deesha, my friend Deesha, who covers the Make It Happen Mets and baseball in general, you know, and all types of things. It's tough to get the Mets reporters on during the game because they got to obviously cover the game. But Deesha Thesar, 10 p.m., she will tap in to talk about this run that the Mets are on, what it means, and what the outlook is for the rest of the season before the deadline and all that good stuff. So 888-808-1019. I told you to call. Let's get to the calls. John in Bayside, you're on the fan.
Hi, Keith. How are you and yours doing tonight?
Good, John. I'm glad we were able to get you sorted out and bring you back on.
Thank you. It was actually my fault. I thought I was disconnected, but I
knew it wasn't mine.
I was coughing. I went to the bathroom, and all of a sudden, you were gone. So I'm glad I'm back. Okay. One quick thing about Jackson. Is he talking now?
Yes, and
a lot.
He said he can imitate almost any words. He says a lot of random words. His sentence structure isn't there yet, but my son is definitely talking.
He's making sentences wonderful. All right, here we go. I would like to talk about the Yankee-Orioles showdown coming up. Here's my opinion. I also want yours. I think that the two teams, they are, as their records say, the two teams are even in the loss column, and I think they're evenly matched. And I think there's a real good chance that they can end the season either tied or real close 1-2. Okay, I think if I had to say, I'd say, especially with Rizzo gone for over a month, I think the Orioles are maybe a smidge better in the hitting department, but the Yankees are a smidge better in the pitching department. As the Orioles pitching,
couple smidges.
The Orioles pitching, even though they have Corbin Burns, is still a little bit questionable, same as last year in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But I really think the Yankees can take 2 out of 3, but they could just as easily be swept, and the Orioles would be in first place. So something tells me 2 out of 3 either way is what's going to happen. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's 2 out of 3 in favor of the Yankees. Thanks for the call, John. I just think that's... We're not playing in Build a Ballpark. We're not going down to Camden Yards with their bird bath and Mr. Splash and all the other shenanigans. It's going to be a rocking atmosphere in Yankee Stadium. I mean, they're giving out 30,000 passport holders tomorrow night. Do you have a passport? Do you want a holder from Clear with a Yankee logo. I want one, but I'm not going tomorrow night because I'm trying to go when Garrett Cole pitches. So I'm a family man. Jackson needs me around. My wife needs me around. I try not to, you know, go to back-to-back games on them too much, unless it's the Dodgers series. And, you know, sorry, honey. You understand it's the main stage. I got to go to the Bronx. But I think I'm going to the game Wednesday, and then I'm going to go to the Braves series Friday. And that's about it. I think that they have to take 2 out of 3 here. After losing 3 out of 4, the Yankees must take 2 out of 3 here. And maybe that's with Cole on the mound. Maybe not. Maybe it's Nestor and Luis Gil. We'll look at the pitching matchups and all of that stuff a little bit later on. But I don't fear the Orioles. Even going back to last year, the games were close. And the Yankees blew a lot of those games. I just don't fear the Orioles like so many other people do. Everybody talking about how great they are. Like, their pitching isn't a smidge better than the Yankees. They're banged up. They're hurt. The Yankees definitely have the advantage in the pitching. And their lineup is good, but you can't tell me their hitting is like, come on. With what Judge and Soto are, just those two alone. Who's the Judge and Soto in their lineup? Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman? Cedric Mullins isn't having an all-star year. I don't know. They got to show me. And if they come in here and sweep the Yankees, then I will be singing the praises of the Baltimore Orioles. I just refuse to crown them. I refuse to just say, they're it, man. Baltimore Orioles won 101 games last year. Look out. They're the new thorn in our side. Nah. They got a first week of May series against the Yankees where they took 3 out of 4. They got to come here and do it. They got to come in here and take 2 out of 3 before I'm like, all right, yeah, they're the elite team. They're the best team in the division, best team in the AL. Kevin in Belmore is next up on the Fan. What you got, Kevin?
Hey, what's going on, bud? Just wanted to piggyback what you were saying before about, you know, when they're stealing bases like crazy and supposedly making a quote-unquote blueprint. I mean, dude, if it's going to happen at any time of year, let it happen in June, right? This way we don't end up with, like, you know, 20 years ago and Dickie Roberts running crazy on us.
Yeah, let it happen now so everybody...
There's one other thing I want to throw in there.
On high alert, go on.
Just something else, which might be a little, like, crazy and whatnot, but first base is where pretty much, like, outfielders and catchers go right before they retire, right? If they're trying to extend the career a little bit. Can we put G there? You know what I mean? Like, get his bat in the line. I know he can't, like, I mean, it's nuts because I know he ain't that limber, but like,
it's not first base in our men's softball leagues. Thanks for the call, Kevin. You guys crack me up with everybody. Even I just was on Twitter during the break and I haven't responded yet. But shout out to Coach K, BK. He says, hey, Keith, your show is dope. I really look forward to hearing you. Quick question. Can Alex Verdugo play the infield? Let's say second base. This way, these guys are professionals, and they've spent their whole lives repping and drilling and practicing certain positions. Now, I know Bryce Harper was able to come out of the outfield and go to first base. That's Bryce Harper, who used to be a catcher, who probably has played every position because since he was in the sixth grade, he knew he was going to be a pro ball player. He could probably play everywhere. Giancarlo at first base, no way. Verdugo is one of the best defensive left fielders in the game. You can even put him in right field against the Red Sox because he knows that ballpark and it works out for you. No, we have a great outfield. That outfield, leave it. Especially if Dominguez isn't coming up to spell Judge. It is what it is. Judge in center. Soto is not coming off. Soto is also not playing first base. Dominguez is not playing first base. DJ and Oswaldo Cabrera right now are your two first basemen, unless they make a move to pick somebody up or bring somebody up. 888-808-1019. And then you think about that with John Birdie hurt, which I don't care about John Birdie anymore. I mean, I wish him well, but I mean, like, the guy's 34. They traded for him because DJ went down. And he's been hurt twice already. He's been on the IL twice already. Just Father Time is undefeated. Don't I know it? So you're now relying on DJ and Oswaldo to play first base. Who's going to be at third? I guess Cabrera at third, but, like, I don't know. Jamai Jones has played the outfield, but I think he can play a little bit of second base. The Glaber's second base only. I don't know. They have some issues. Hear me and hear me clear. The Yankees are not perfect. This isn't all rainbows and butterfly. Nobody's wearing rose-colored glasses. They have some glaring issues to address. Luckily, they have time for them to be addressed. Let's go to Steve in Rockland on the Fan. What's up, Steve?
Keith, man, I'm going to tell you this. I want to address something. I want to address what I'm calling glaring weakness in reverse. Okay? For instance, isn't it a fact that without Gerrit Cole throwing one pitch this year, the Yankees were the first team to 50 wins? I mean,
I'm with you. Keep going.
It was a glaring weakness. We didn't have Cole the whole time. So, that you know, I mean, when I hear people talking glaring weakness, I'm like, what are you guys looking at? I'm like, they're a team. You know, I watched the Dodgers series, and I saw their bottom three, 0-78. I mean, they got holes in their lineup. Mm-hmm. Every team has holes in their lineup. Glaring weaknesses. You know what? Every single team in Major League Baseball wishes they had the glaring weaknesses
right. That
the Yankees have. I'm not sure what people, you know, what you expect. For instance, did the Yankees just lose 3 out of 4, or did they win 10 out of 13?
10 out of 13.
There you go. There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but the house is burning down, Steve, because Clay Holmes and because of Jose Trevino and now Rizzo's heard. The house is burning down. These guys aren't what you thought they were.
Wait. And I want to talk about Clay Holmes. I want to say something about Clay Holmes, okay? You know, it is, you know, the idea that anyone, never mind the Yankees, that any other team is going to find a relief, a closer like Mariano Rivera, that's some kind of delusional thing. You know, there was a guy who threw one pitch and everyone knew it was coming and it didn't make a difference.
Yeah.
That's a one-off.
Yeah.
That's a one-off. So when people say, oh, he's not Mariano Rivera, oh, could you please spare me? Could you please? Clay Holmes, by the numbers, is
one of the closest two. He's had, what, 29 innings scoreless, and he started getting
compared. What do you want from the guy? He pitches to contact. Sometimes the ball is going to go where even if it's not hit hard, sometimes it's just going to go where you don't want it to go. And this is the other thing. I know that 100 wins might not do it this year in the American League East. But when you win 100 games, you got to lose 62. And here's a vaccine that Pfizer needs to work on, okay? The disease is 162 one-game seasonitis, okay? Pfizer needs to come up with a vaccine for that, dude.
And they refuse to take it. Thanks for the call, Steve. 888-808-1019. He didn't say anything wrong. That vaccine will come available to the Yankee fans, and it'll be Yankee fans versus other Yankee fans. Yo, you got to go get that vaccine to make you wake up and realize they're going to lose games. No, 162 one-game seasons. Hey, I'm sorry, but if you're not watching the Mets right now, you should. And if you don't believe in Grimace, you should. And if you don't understand just watching the first inning and a half here, that there's something different about this lineup and the energy around this team as they now go up. And Pete Alonso, do it, bro, with the cowboy hat, with folks calling you out, with the money you're expecting. Go ahead and keep adding, because that's Pete Alonso's second ribby in this early on in this game. He could have a big night tonight. Stay tuned for my Casamigos big shot of the night as the Mets go up 4-0. DJ Stewart, stop it. Wow. The Grim Mets. Let's go, Grim Mets. DJ Stewart hits a three-run bomb. Sweeney Murdy told me three-run bombs win ball games. It doesn't matter. The Mets are up 7-0 in Globe Life Park against the reigning World Series champions with a five-game win streak on the line.
It's a pretty awesome turnaround, all based on some fat McDonald's mascot.
Hey, whatever it takes. Sometimes though, you don't see it coming.
And again, you know me well enough to know that has nothing to do with anything. I think that it's confidence, right? It's you get one win, then it turns into two wins, and it turns into three and four. Oh, we're not the worst team, you know, in the league. I am still not buying in yet. I need to see more, honestly. That's just me. There's two teams below them in the NL. The Rockies and the Marlins. So there is a...
There's still a ways to go before it's like...
There's eight teams that are three games out of a wild card spot in the NL.
Are you a strength of schedule guy? Because we could go down that route.
No, just...
Because you don't know what's going to happen. Right, it doesn't matter who you face. Didn't know that the Yankees are going to lose two out of three to Boston.
And here's the one thing the Mets have to worry about is that at the trade deadline, when they're undoubtedly, hopefully going to do something, they either have to... No half measures. Buy or sell. The worst thing they can do is just be in the middle. That can't happen. You're either going to go for it, which I think would be ridiculous, but at least you're showing a spine one way or the other, or you sell everybody off. Those are the two options.
Yeah, well, the only team in the wild card hunt in the National League that's got a tougher strength of schedule, like, you know, in front of the Grimmets, is the Cincinnati Reds. And I know, it's baseball. You can't predict anything. Somebody's going to get hurt, and some team's going to win, and you don't know. But if you're a Mets fan, why not believe? A lot of you have been believing the whole time. If nobody's going to give you props, I will. Shout out to you for fighting through and saying, the season's not over. There's a lot of baseball to be played. Nope, wait. Wait till we get this guy back. Wait till we get that guy back. Wait till Jorge Lopez throws his glove into the stands. That's going to be rock bottom again. This time, we're going to hit rock bottom, and the only way is up. Grimace is coming to Citi Field to celebrate his birthday. Grimace who? I made a joke Saturday. I'm like, Grimace is the face you make in late innings knowing the Mets are going to give it up. Grimace, that's what Frank the Tank does. He grimaces watching the Mets play baseball. Of course, it would be Grimace. The seven line, the purple. When they came out with those City Connect uniforms and you saw that little purple, if you know, you know, I knew obviously they were going to do something with the 7 line. It took Grimace to activate the 7 line powers. Everybody should have purple. They should lean into this. McDonald's has money. Steve Cohen has money. Make it something more than it is. Keep it going. It's fun. This is what we do, right? We're fans. You need something to latch onto. Whether it's the thumbs down guy, whether it's the dogs, whether it's Sean Kelly showing up with a horse head or guys all wearing the mustache or whatever it is for you to rally around. My guys are savages in the box, whatever, right? If you need to believe that Aaron Judge got ejected on May 4th and that's what changed things for him to go on a tear, whatever. It's baseball. We're superstitious. We're fans. That's what we do. This is the Fan in New York. This is Keith McPherson. This is what I do. Call up 888-808-1019 and
talk New York sports with us. 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
The Mets, excuse me, I mean the Grimmets, may never lose. Keith McPherson on the Fan. It's fun to win. Winning cures all. And seems to be contagious with this Mets team. I think it was J.D. Martinez that said something about, like, you know, we were losing. What's the worst thing that can happen if we just go out there and, like, and we lose? Like, we're already doing that. So, yeah, you hit rock bottom. The only way is up. You know? Only way is up. And they're up right now. They're up 7 runs right now. What are the chances they blow this game? I mean, I won't put that energy out there. But it feels like you're on your way to W6 and a game up in this series. And I don't know. People think I just troll the Mets or bash the Mets. I mean, it's easy to. Like, when you guys do come back around and start losing again, yeah, I'll be here to remind you, like, but right now, enjoy it. Have fun. And I've been saying, if you're actually listening to what I'm saying, I've been saying for a while, the Mets just need to stack wins at some point. They need to go on a win streak. They need to sweep a team. And that just happened this past weekend, and it has carried over. Same way losing is contagious, winning is contagious as well. Paulie, what channel are the finals on? I'm not paying any attention to the finals.
7.
ABC. Let me see if I can get this TV set up to go from back and forth, you know, last to seven. All right. The Boston Celtics lead the Dallas Mavericks 13-8. And today is the day that they won in 1986, something like that. The Celtics, obviously, are not going to lose this game. It's a gentleman's sweep. If you could ever see a gentleman's sweep, they are like, whatever. No matter what, we got to fly back to Boston. So why not fly back to Boston, win a game on our home floor in front of all of our fans, celebrate with all our friends and family right there. And it makes sense. It helps everybody. It helps NBA, YouTube TV sponsoring the finals. You get an extra game instead of sweeping them in four. I just don't think there's any way that the Celtics lose tonight. I could be wrong. 888-808-1019. Let's sneak in one call before we go to the break. Let's go to Billy in Westchester County. What's up, Bill?
Hi, Keith. Hope all's well. Keith, listen, I go to like 20, 25 Yankee games a year, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to tell you the Yankees are a bad team. That's insane, right? They got the best record of baseball. But I'm only worried about one thing. I got to get to the World Series. Yeah. If we lose in the World Series, it'll take me a month to get over it, but at least it's survivable. But with this, the bullpen is full of guys that have been released on numerous times. LeMahieu, at best, if he gets hot, looks like a 260 singles hitter. You have Torres with their problems, right? They have to beat Baltimore out. They could easily win 105 games, the Yankees. Baltimore could win 108. It's no good to be very good this year. You have to be the best. It's not a year that you can make the wild card and win a round and get knocked off and say, oh, we had a good season. In that case, Cashman and Boone has to go. This is all or nothing this year. You can't afford LeMahieu. Now, Rizzo's hurt, I believe. The two catching positions are horrible. Wells is below average defensively, and he can't hit major league pitching. Trevino has to be tremendous defensively because he's once in a while he'll pop a home run, which is great. He gets those clutch hits once in a while. But the catching position is terrible. They ran on him yesterday. It was embarrassing. A lot of that was with the pitching. But like I said, the bullpen has all guys that have been released. They've all been released before. That bullpen's not going to beat out the Baltimore Orioles. I watched the Orioles. The Orioles going to Tampa, sweep. The Yankees get Kansas City again. The Orioles don't play like. Check the Baltimore record against Boston this year. They had something like a streak of a whole bunch of games that beat Boston in the last couple of years. I mean, this team is very good, the Yankees. I'm not telling you that. Are we good enough? That's the only team that I believe that can beat us is Baltimore.
Not today. Thanks for the call, Billy. And what's great about today is that the Yankees don't have to be ready to play the World Series tomorrow. What's great about today is they still have plenty of time to make little tweaks and changes and improve this team. I just disagree with the catching being terrible. I had a stat that Fireside Yankees, shout out to Fireside Yankees. Those young guys have really come up and they do a great job. There was a stat from my notes from Saturday. Jose Trevino and Austin Wells both rank in the top five in catchers as far as framing runs and top 11 in strike rate. And there's a bunch of other stats where they're up there. They're in there. It just might not be the eye-popping stats for you guys, like the home runs or, like, you know, when you see Trevino and Stroman and the Yankees get exposed yesterday, it's like, wow, that's a glaring issue. But even hitting, right? I kept telling you guys, refresh your information. It's not the beginning of the season when Wells was hitting for, I don't know, he was in 098 and Trevino was in 056. I mean, these guys have come up clutch just in the last couple of weeks. Trevino homered. He just homered in Fenway a couple nights ago. Wells homered in Kauffman Stadium last week. I don't know. I just think that we're just so quick to be like, these guys are terrible. We got to upgrade. These are your catchers, right? Kyle Higashioka got sent to the Padres in the Juan Soto deal. And Austin Wells has come up to platoon with Jose Trevino. I don't think they're going to be looking at catcher at the deadline. You can't have everywhere. But you certainly now need a first baseman with Rizzo out. And you can't tell me it's LeMahieu. Not every day. LeMahieu, like, now you also need corner infielders. You need a first baseman and a third baseman. John Birdie, I don't care about. Cabrera should be a bench player that can literally play six positions. So that's where we're at, man. Obviously, the Yankees have the best record in baseball. No, we don't think that if this is the roster that we're going into the World Series with today, we're good. But luckily, the World Series isn't tomorrow. Keith McPherson on the Fan, 2 hours down. Marco coming up with the update. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back.